Miss Luca Derry, and I'm going to talk about NDPI, that is a toolkit for traffic analysis, in particular focusing on traffic monitoring and security. Before starting, let's say a few words about me. I am the founder of NTOP, an open source project that develops open source network security and visibility tools. What NTOP has done in 20 years is basically condensed in this slide. There is NTOP-NG, that is a web-based traffic monitoring and security application. You will hear more about it later in this session. NDPI, that is the goal and the focus of this talk, that is talking about deep packet inspection. We will be talking that in a second. And then we have other tools, including NScrub, that is a software for DDoS mitigation, so-called scrubber, and N2N, is another open source peer-to-peer VPN. I'm author of various open source tools and a lecturer at the Computer Science Department of the University of Pisa in Italy. Let's start with NDPI. What are the needs today? In essence, we need to monitor traffic. But in addition to that, we also have to enforce traffic policies, meaning that we have to make sure that what we expect to see in the network is happening. And in particular, as you can see in the picture on the right, there are users and there is the internet. In the middle, there is the need to have some sort of boxes that are monitoring the traffic and are making sure that what is happening is what you expect. Typical activities include limitation of the bandwidth of specific protocols, for instance, BitTorrent, or protocols that are not super important, that they can flow in a healthy network, but only if there is bandwidth available. Another point that we want to have in a healthy network is to block malicious communications. And the problem is that over the past few years, traffic moved from clear text, so something you can analyze and inspect, into encrypted traffic. It is an interesting point. Or we have to prioritize specific protocols, such as, for instance, WhatsApp or Skype. And so to make sure that, you know, the activities that are important for us are really happening, whereas other activities that are not so important can happen only if there is room available. In this talk, and in general, we don't want to decrypt the traffic because this is something for hackers. Here we want to maintain privacy. Encryption is important. It is an asset. If somebody has created traffic in an encrypted form, so HTTPS, SSH, for instance, there is a meaning, it should stay like that, okay? So we need to make sure that we enforce the policies, we monitor what is happening, but at the same time, we respect the user's privacy. This is the goal of this talk and of NDPI. So in essence, in order to do that, we need to create some sort of fingerprint. So that is, in essence, a way to characterize a network protocol and to recognize it. So to assign a certain label, to label it, so that if in the future we see the same label, it means that this is the protocol we have observed before and that we need to somehow monitor and recognize. Also, we want to make sure that specific traffic, and in particular over TLS, that is the encrypted traffic that is using is used by most of the application today, this traffic is good. I mean, we don't want to allow encrypted traffic streams that contain malware. This is a big problem. And another point that we want to have is to understand how to monitor and to measure the traffic that is happening in our network, to understand if people are using Netflix, are watching YouTube videos, are doing SSH or other things. And of course, malware is a problem and therefore we want to analyze it. Analyze means don't dissect the content, because like I said before, this is not our goal, but to recognize it. If you are able to recognize this malware, we'll drop it or we'll raise an alarm saying there is something happening in our network that is not what we expected. We have to stop and analyze that host that is producing the traffic. At the beginning of this talk, I said a word that is DPI, Deep Packet Inspection. What is that? In network traffic, there is the packet header, so where you can find, for instance, the IP address, the port, and other type of information similar to this. and the content. The content is what the packet is carrying from one side to another. This is called packet payload. Usually this is an activity that's computationally intensive because we have to open the packet after capture and we have to understand what is happening. So we have to reconstruct the stream and go deep. That's why deep packet inspection, up to the end of the packet to understand what is really shared. And in particular, when we do this type of activities, we are concerned about privacy and confidentiality. That's why I said at the beginning, we must make sure that here we understand that we don't want to decrypt traffic. This is not our goal. And because encryption is becoming pervasive, we need to extend our DPI toolkit that years ago was pretty simple, everything was in clear text, to something more sophisticated. We don't like false positives, so it means whenever we see some traffic, label it with the wrong label. So let's say recognize Facebook as YouTube and different. And this is a big problem because if we exchange two protocols, it means that if you are doing traffic monitoring, we'll mislabel the traffic. But if you are enforcing the traffic and we say block YouTube, and a certain traffic that it is not YouTube, it is perceived as YouTube, this traffic will be blocked. And this is not a good practice. So we must make sure that, in the worst case, we say unknown. This is not a traffic we know. But when we say YouTube, it is really YouTube. This is very important. So in 2012, we started to play with NDPI. We were looking for a toolkit for the packet inspection. And before creating our own, we said, let's go around and see what is happening. In those years, there was a toolkit called OpenDPI that was no longer maintained, open source. We started to send patches to the creators of this traffic, but nobody has ever replied. So we said, okay, let's make a fork and maintain ourselves an open source DPI layer. This is where NDPI started. And today there are many protocols, over 240. I will be talking later what is a protocol. But just to say in this slide that all the latest protocols, all the major protocols are detected. And these days, compared to years ago when everybody that wanted to create a new protocol was using TCP and on top of it, its own protocol. Today, there is another layer in the middle, the encryption. So most of the protocols today are encrypted, they are sitting on top of TLS or to the UDP version of TLS that is called QUIC. That is an evolution of many protocols that have been created over the past few years, and then at the end, is one of the latest protocols that have been introduced. So there is not a big variety of protocols. The main difference between one protocol and the other is what this protocol is carrying on. In cybersecurity, there is a need for deep packet inspection, mostly because we have to analyze encrypted traffic, like I've said. We have to inspect the packet payload. This is very important. And we have to understand what is happening. Because in a healthy network, we have to do some sort of lightweight monitoring. And many people used to do that with DNS, for instance, or with ICMP. When you see ICMP errors, let's say destination unreachable, or things like that, this was a good way of monitoring the health of a network with very little traffic to watch. Unfortunately, today, this is more complicated because we have encryption, but we have to live with encryption. Also, we have things like DGA, domain generated algorithm. So in essence, domain names that are generated not by humans, but by computers, and that are used for this type of purposes. And in order to do that, I will show you later that NDPI associates one risk to a flow so that we can say this flow is special. We want to make sure that it's recognized and handled properly. In NDPI, the protocol is divided in two parts. We have the major and the minor. The one in red is actually the transport. In this case, it's QUIC, the protocol I mentioned before, or with Facebook, you will see it is DNS. Later, we attach to it a so-called minor or application protocol. In this case, this is not the real protocol in the IETF parlance, because here we are talking about application protocols in the meaning of people, okay? So when I talk with somebody, if I say Facebook, it's clear what is that. So in this case, the protocol is recognized by characterizing the stream, okay, according to some usage. For instance, the quick.youtube is a such because inside the quick stream, we recognize that there is a name that ends with youtube.com or things like that. So in this case, in NDPI, the protocol name is divided into two parts. Okay, this is very important. Now, today, most of the protocol, like I've said, are based on HTTP, probably less and less today, but in particular on TLS. So in order to detect one protocol from another, from the network standpoint, everything looks like HTTPS or TLS if you want. So how do we recognize if a certain protocol is Netflix or YouTube? For sure, we don't want to use IP addresses, at least this will be the last resort, because in particular for cloud-based protocols, this is not a good idea because the IP address is not permanent, they are changing, they are not static, and you know, depending on the world region where you are, you will see one IP or another. So in this case, for instance, let's have a look at Netflix. In this case, the Netflix protocol is in essence TLS traffic, okay, that contains as host name something like netflix.com, nflxd.com, and so on. So this is the way, you know, modern quoted protocols are recognized inside NDPI. And note that here we don't put IP addresses, okay? Again, the IP address is used as a last resort. If I have to look at the classification life cycles, basically what happens is that we receive one packet, the engine looks at it, says, okay, this is UDP. Okay, let's start to apply all the possible dissectors supported by NDPI. As for instance, for UDP traffic, we don't definitely check, let's say, HTTPS, okay, or HTTP, because these are TCP-based protocols. And we start to analyze the packet, this until, you know, one dissector matches the traffic, or up to a certain number of packets, so usually the limit is 8. And when we have monitored enough packets without being able to find out the protocol, we give up, and we say, okay, this is unknown traffic. The performance of NDPI is quite good. This is an example with a single core E3 server. As you can see, we are able to do per core about 10 gigabit, okay, or 1.8 million packets per second. So the performance is pretty good, in particular because with deep packet inspection, we don't analyze the whole stream, but we analyze only the first few packets, like I've said, up to 8, 12, so not more than that usually. And because of that, the performance is affected only at the beginning of the communication. So therefore, if you have many flows, you will have to do, let's say, more DPI. But if you have one flow that carries on 100 gigabit, the equation says that you have to analyze the first 8 packets. That's why it is really fast. Now, for encrypted traffic, the story is a little bit more complicated than clear text traffic. First of all, because we have to decide whether the TLS stream we are watching is something like HTTPS, so it's a web navigation, or is a VPN. This is very important. And how do we do that? We analyze the beginning of the communication, we try to extract the specific fields that indicate the nature of the communication. This is the way, for instance, where we are able to recognize the, you know, a TCP connection carrying TLS that is, for instance, an open VPN communication and is not a web communication. We want to recognize malware, okay? And we do that through the concept of data binning. So we have so-called traffic bins, okay, that in essence we take time and packets size. I will be talking about that in a second, just to recognize a specific fingerprint. And then we look at the content. So there is something called entropy that allows you to measure how bytes are distributed in a stream. And as you can see, without decoding the traffic, if we look at some text that is exchanged, you will see that there are some tiny differences between different type of content, but those differences are very little. So we cannot really say in an encrypted traffic, this is for SCP, so HTTPS, sorry, SSH, a copy. We are not really able to say 100% whether we are monitoring a PNG or a text. It is very close, so they are very, very low, the differences. So that's why we have to be somehow smart in order to do that. I will show that in a second. NDPI, in addition to what I've said, is trying to add something called flow risk to a communication, to recognize, for instance, things that are unexpected that should not happen. A typical example, for instance, for HTTP is a binary.exe application transfer that is is very happening very often, for instance, with malware, when the malware has infected the, you know, a host. This host is trying to download, for instance, the binary application that you know, is doing the dirty job. Or for instance, when we have a TLS certificate that has an obsolete version or weak cipher, so they are not very very good in quality. NDPI Reader is an application that comes with NDPI that allows you to decode the traffic. Now, as you can see, it's dividing the traffic in two parts. This is an example of how it looks. In the first part here, we have this so-called behavior. So we have a look at the IP addresses and ports, the score, and everything, the entropy we discussed before. And here we have the fingerprint. So a way to uniquely identify the stream with certain properties. There is some fingerprint called JA3 that allows us to recognize the library that has generated the stream, for its open TLS or OpenSSL, these type of libraries. And then we have here the name of the server, or the in this case, the name of the server that the client wants to connect to. When we have to detect malware, basically we have two options. If the malware is clear text, we have the signature, so namely a unique fingerprint of that malware. That is very complicated. There are many signatures, and every day they are added to the scene. Or we have to look at the behavior. So, for instance, something similar to what I showed you before with the flow risk. With encrypted traffic, we have two options with NDPI. First of all, the fingerprint, okay, that is similar, for instance, the HTTPS fingerprint that you see when you are monitoring or you are connecting to a website. If you click on the lock on the browser, you will see the hash of the certificate. Or we have something called bins, time and length. I will show that in a second, like I said, that allow you to recognize a specific pattern. Or we have the entropy that I've shown you before, is speculating about the content nature. In essence, the fingerprint is a way to create a unique signature of the initial communication. JA3 are interesting. They are very interesting algorithms that are looking at the TLS client hello. But they are not unique, so they are characterizing a communication, but they are not telling you for sure that this is a certain communication, because like I've said before, a certain library or another library will be sharing the same fingerprint. The byte entropy, it is interesting, it is measured in every bin, so in every slot, so we have up to 255 slots per flow in NDPI. How many bytes are falling in a certain slot, okay, so if you have the byte, let's say 1, we do plus 1. If you have the byte x, we do plus 1, and so on. And with the entropy, we can see, for instance, that with certain protocol, there are some sort of differences. So let's say if I have DNS traffic, the entropy is about 4, TLS about 7.7. With NetFlow, it's about 4 again. So in this case, we are not able to say if it's DNS or NetFlow because they're very close. But we know for sure that if I see something like looks like a TLS stream, that has an entropy of 4, this is not TLS, because unfortunately there is something that doesn't work. So just to show you an example of practical malware analysis, this is a malware called TrickBot. So here I put a link, so you can download a pickup file containing it. And as you can see, NDPI helps software for cybersecurity to detect it. For instance, here we see, you know, a warning about obsolete TLS protocol, or we see here binary application transfer. So when the machine has been infected, probably here we are transferring the binary. But if I look at the traffic bin, so in essence, at the distribution of the time, so the packet sequence, the packet length, and the time, you will see that there are different streams that look similar. Here I put some colors to show you how similar they look. Okay. So this is a way to fingerprint the traffic. This is a way to say, okay, this one looks like that. If I write it down, this will be my signature. So in case I see another type of traffic with the same signature, then this looks like TrickBot. So I can put another warning. This is all for today. This is basically NDPI. I invite you to look at the source code to compile it. The software is on github.com/ntop/NDPI. Thank you very much for listening.